Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the December-January issue of Audiophile magazine. On today's program, you'll hear our best of in mystery and suspense. Then we have a behind the mic with actor-narrator Robert Bathurst, and we'll follow that with part one of our reviews in mystery and suspense. Let's get right to it. The best of mystery and suspense. The titles are All the Devils Are Here by Louise Penny, read by Robert Bathurst. High Five by Joe Ide, read by Zeno Robinson. The Last Tourist by Olin Steinauer, read by David Pitu. The Law of Innocence by Michael Connelly, read by Peter Giles. One by One by Ruth Hare, Ruth Ware, read by Imogen Church. And The Searcher by Tana French, read by Roger Clark. And our best audio narrators are Imogen Church, narrator of One by One, and Zeno Robinson, narrator of High Five. And that's our best of the best of mystery and suspense, books and authors. Now we're going to have a behind the mic with narrator Robert Bathurst. Audiophile's Josephine Reed spoke with narrator Robert Bathurst, who has become the voice of Louise Penny's Chief Inspector Gamache series. The latest, All the Devils Are Here, is one of Audiophile's 2020 best audiobooks. This is an excerpt, but you can hear their full conversation in a bonus episode of our podcast Behind the Mic with Audiophile magazine. Josephine Reed. I'd like to begin with an overview of the Gamache series created by Louise Penny that you've been narrating now for 6 books. Robert Bathurst. Well, the latest is the 16th in the Gamache series, and I started reading them after the 10th one or so because the original reader was Ralph Cosham, who was very popular with Louise's fans, and he very sadly died, and they were looking for somebody to take over. So it was big boots to fill. She's written this series set in a mythical village in the Provence of Quebec. It's a village that isn't on the map, and there's a sort of mystical, spiritual element to it, really, which I think takes it away from being just an ordinary cop story. It isn't process-driven, it's driven by other things and is spiritual, with a small s, in some ways, because what she's created is almost a manifesto for how to live well in a cruel world. It just shows that despite all the ghastliness and the terror and the violence and the murder, that good does exist. Of course, you never quite know what's going to happen, and you don't know whether evil will prevail. And you're always on the edge of your seat with all her plotting, which is cast down. It's brilliantly constructed, and the central figure is a man called Sir Armand Gamache. I think he's sort of loosely based on Louise's late husband, Michael. And he's very tough. He's flawed, of course, like so many heroes of mystery drama, but he presides over a story that is both utterly humane and just simply excitingly told. Josephine Reed. The character of the village of Three Pines and its inhabitants is so central. I love them. I love the bistro. I love the bookstore. I love the boulangerie. I think weather is so central, so I don't think it's paradise because I think winter there would be so horrible. But I listen to them with a kind of longing. Robert Bathurst. Yes, they're very sensual. Among all the police stuff and the murders and the terrible huge big themes and sometimes consequences on the whole world, not just on that region, they are deeply sensual and you feel the warmth of the bistro. You can taste it. She's very good on food. Joe Reed. Oh, is she good on food? Robert Bathurst. I think you could do a series of recipes from the Gamache books. She talks about food, and you can smell the wood smoke fire and feel the enormous comfort, because Three Pines is, in her mind, and it comes across in the books. It's a place for people who are essentially lost, who have got something to sort of yearn for, and Three Pines is a sanctuary. Okay, Three Pines also has a lot of things happening in it that are ghastly, but at its root, it's a place where people who live there have found sanctuary, and ultimately, of course, most of the books return to Three Pines when there is some resolution there. Josephine Reed. As you mentioned, you came to the series in Book 11, replacing Ralph Cosham, who read the first 10, and that had to be a challenge for you in some ways, because clearly you wanted to respect what Ralph had done, but you also had to make it your own. Robert Bathurst. Yes, indeed. I had to read them and do my own take on them and the characters. I didn't want to do an impression of what Ralph was doing. I wanted to come from how I saw it and how I was able to interpret it and how I thought I could bring it on, but being mindful, of course, that the contract with the audiobook listener, the performer with the audience, is a really special one, and it's one that you have to try to get right. You have to do it in your own way, and you have to try to make the characters breathe and make the plot tell and give clarity, but also to paint the picture that Louise has painted. But there is a danger that the narrator might get in the way between the author and the listener. You've got to do quite a subtle dance just to say, this has nothing to do with me. This is all about the author. This is all about the characters. And just try to pique the imagination of the listeners in addition to leading them in a way that I see it. So there are two readers at play. One is the actual reader who's speaking. The other is the person who's sitting back and hearing your voice, but just connecting, really, with the author. Josephine Reed. I'm curious, what attracted you to audiobooks? You have a big career on television. You perform in theater. What attracted you to taking on Louise Penny's books? Robert Bathurst. Well, all actors will say it's lovely to be invited. But I've always done radio. I've always done voice work. I started in radio and moved into stage and TV and so forth. So it's a natural progression to do that. I've done a few other audiobooks, not that many. So when the call came, I gather Louise heard a few tapes and so forth and chose me. I'm really, really delighted that she did. It's a challenge. I mean, it's really hard work. I'm not shirking from it. I'm just stating a fact. And any audiobook reader will tell you, you work harder doing an audiobook than you do in most other branches of the acting profession. Certainly harder than turning up to do a commercial for 30 seconds. You really have to prepare it, and I love the rigor of that. I love the degree of freedom. As I say, it was daunting to take over a series rather than do something from scratch, but it was really appealing, and when I read it, I thought it was really exciting. I really enjoy each book I've done with a key figure in this whole process, who is the director, Lorelei King. We work on it together, and of course, with the engineer. And each time at certain stages during the book, I'll always say to the engineer, okay, so who did it? So I always pin them back and make them come up with an answer. I do this progressively all the way through the book, from about halfway and right to the end, even to the end. None of the engineers have got it right, which is a great sign. It's a great sign. And I told Louise that, and she was really chuffed. It just shows that her structure, that she's done, that she pulls it off, it's beautifully drawn. Josephine Reed. Well, clearly you're very successful. 6 books later, you've been nominated for multiple Audie Awards, and in fact, You got the 2020 Audio Award for Best Male Narrator for Kingdom of the Blind. Many congratulations. It was very well deserved. Have the characters evolved in terms of the way you represent them over the course of 6 books? Robert Bathurst. Without a doubt, I'm sure they have. Yes, I mean, certainly. When I did the first one, which was, I think, The Nature of the Beast, yes, I had an idea of the characters in my own mind. Their characterization has changed, gotten richer in some cases, has got more grounded in others. Sometimes I put on these characters, as I say, take them down off the shelf or put them on like a nice warm overcoat and off I go with them. I'm completely at ease with it, and so yes, I suppose the more I've done these characters, perhaps, the greater facility I have for doing them. And that was our Behind the Mic with narrator Robert Bathurst, conducted by Audiophile's Josephine Reed. This is just a reminder that you are listening to Audiophile Magazine's December-January issue, and it is the magazine that wants you to discover the best audiobooks of the year 2020. All right, now we will begin part one of our reviews in Mystery and Suspense. And our first review today is an earphones winner. As you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review today in part one of our Mystery and Suspense readings is Good Night, Beautiful. It's written by Amy Malloy, read by Val Toomey, George Newbern, Maren Ireland, and Joel Frumkin, and it's an earphones winner. Think of a mashup of Gone Girl and Misery. Listeners may suspect this mystery has an unreliable narrator due to the mismatch between the voice introducing the story and their assumptions about who is speaking. Revealing more would spoil the experience. Hang in there for this wild ride of a psychological thriller with expertly crafted twists and turns. Narrators Val Toomey, George Newbern, Maren Ireland, and Joel Frumkin masterfully perform their characters in individual chapters. Listeners will follow the story of newlyweds Sam Statler and Annie Potter, who moved to Sam's hometown in upstate New York in search of a simpler life and to care for Sam's ailing mother. Sam, a psychologist, thinks he has found the perfect office in which to set up his private practice. That's when the fun begins. That review was written by Ellen Quint. It is of Good Night, Beautiful by Amy Malloy, and earphones winner read by Val Toomey, George Newbern, Maren Ireland, and Joel Frumkin. It's available from Harper Audio for 7.75 hours of unabridged listening. Our next mystery review is The Shooting at Chateau Rock, Bruno, Chief of Police, Book 13 by Martin Walker. It's read by Robert Ian McKenzie. Narrator Robert Ian McKenzie returns to perform the 13th entry in this mystery set in Dordogne, France. Bruno is more than the chief of police. He's a friend, a good neighbor, an animal lover, and a gourmet cook. In this outing, he investigates a shady retirement community, the possible murder of a local sheep farmer, and a questionable insurance company, all of which seem to have connections to the Russian mob. McKenzie takes an easy pace, matching the life in the French countryside and allowing listeners the space to savor the region's beauty, food, and wine. He wisely employs various accents only as needed to distinguish characters and set the mood. Bruno's personal life, which is as important as the crimes, gives this audiobook wide appeal. Candace Levy wrote that review of The Shooting at Chateau Rock, Bruno, Chief of Police, Book 13 by Martin Walker. It's read by Robert Ian McKenzie, and it's available from Recorded Books, Inc. for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Fortune and Glory by Janet Ivanovich, read by Lorelei King. Lorelei King is back, narrating the latest in the Stephanie Plum series. For the first time, the audiobook is deemed a novel, with no installment number in its subtitle. It's number 27. But not much else has changed in the bounty hunter's world. Fans will find it comforting to revisit Stephanie, Lulu, Morelli, Ranger, Grandma Mazur, Connie, and Stephanie's mother, all masterfully performed by King, who creates a unique voice for each character. Yes, Stephanie explodes cars, and Lulu explodes out of her spandex clothes on their treasure-hunting mission. Ivanovich also introduces a new character, Gabriella Rose, a fashion-conscious female Indiana Jones, who will be featured in a brand new series. King's pacing, accents, intonations, and ability to convincingly perform men and women, good guys and bad, keep the series entertaining. Ellen Quint wrote that review of Fortune and Glory by Janet Ivanovich, read by Lorelei King. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 7.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next in Mystery and Suspense, we have And Now She's Gone. It's written by Rachel Housel Hall, and it's read by Jenny Fleming. Narrator Jenny Fleming's soft voice is a good match for this mystery. Grayson Sykes is excited to get her first serious case as a private investigator at her friend's consulting firm. A hotshot doctor wants to find his missing ex-girlfriend, who took off suddenly, leaving no forwarding address, and taking his dog with her. Fleming highlights Gray's frustrations at making rookie mistakes, her growing suspicion of foul play, and her conflicted feelings for her male boss. Varying her tone and inflection to distinguish each character, Fleming adds intensity to the dialogue as Gray gets closer to the truth. The story deals with tough issues, including domestic violence. Candace Levy wrote that review of And Now She's Gone by Rachel Housel Hall, read by Jenny Fleming. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 11.5 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing in Mystery and Suspense, we have The Darkest Evening, Vera Stanhope, Book 9 by Anne Cleves. It's read by Janine Burkett. Janine Burkett returns to narrate the ninth book in Anne Cleves's Vera Stanhope series, made popular by the TV series. Burkett rises to the task of voicing men and women, seniors and teenagers, imperious aristocrats, and farm workers. The whodunit, set in winter in the atmospheric Northumberland countryside, forces Vera to confront the pain and pleasures of family. Listeners will ride along with Vera and her team as they solve the mystery of a young mother found dead at the ancestral home of the Stanhopes, who are distant relatives of Vera herself. The story reveals more of Vera's background and allows her subordinate, Holly, a bit of the limelight. Burkett nicely captures the feisty, rough-edged Vera. Ellen Quint wrote that review of The Darkest Evening by Vera Stanhope, Book 9, by Anne Cleves, read by Janine Burkett. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 11.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in Mystery and Suspense is The Haunting of H.G. Wells by Robert Masello. It's read by Steve West. Narrator Steve West superbly delivers Masello's latest historical imaginings. Here, he takes on an alternate World War I in which H.G. Wells is sent to the trenches to research the validity of an alleged miracle. Wells is overwhelmed by the horrors surrounding him, both above ground, mustard gas, phosgene, operations performed without anesthesia, and underground, where deserters called ghouls from all armies scavenge from the battlefield dead. West believably creates everyone from foot soldiers to Winston Churchill, from Satan worshiper Aleister Crowley to diabolical German spies, as well as anti-German locals. Wells' adoring wife Jane and his suffragette mistress Rebecca West. With ghosts to lead the way, Wells and West attempt to foil a plot by occultists to destroy British lives and morale. Fascinating listening. That was a review done by me, Sandy Henschel, The Haunting of H.G. Wells by Robert Masello, read by Steve West. It's a 2020 best audiobook, and it's available from Brilliance Audio for 12.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Searcher by Tana French, an Earphones winner, read by Roger Clark. Roger Clark's American, Irish, British background makes him uniquely qualified to narrate Tana French's tense story of a Chicago cop who is trying to solve a mystery far outside his jurisdiction. Divorced and weary with police work, Cal wants nothing more than a quiet retirement in the Irish countryside, fishing and renovating an old cottage. But against his will, he's drawn into the disappearance of a local youth and soon discovers that his quiet retreat holds many secrets and hidden dangers. French's powerful resolution is slow to build, unfolding in long stretches of dialogue which Clark manages with particular ease and conviction. Fans who've been anticipating French's next audiobook will not be disappointed. She's at the top of her form here, and in Clark has one of her most adept and effective narrators. David Walton wrote that review of The Searcher by Tana French, an Earphones winner read by Roger Clark. It's an Audiophile 2020 best audiobook, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 20 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Lantern Men, Ruth Galloway, Book 12. It's written by Ellie Griffiths, read by Jane McDowell. The 12th installment of Ellie Griffiths' character-driven Ruth Galloway series features Jane McDowell once again reprising her role as narrator. As Dr. Galloway, a forensic archaeologist, establishes a new life at Cambridge, the complications of her personal life in Norfolk, England, remain close. DCI Harry Nelson and Ruth reunite when convicted murderer Ivar March insists on her participation in a case involving missing women and the local legend of the Lantern Men. Production-modified phone conversations create an extra element of immersion for listeners. Secondary characters, including Ivar's former lovers, police officers, and Ruth's and Harry's respective family members, receive well-rounded portrayals. Nearly everyone is suspect in this atmospheric crime drama, creating a variety of possibilities for listeners to unravel. Julie Thompson wrote that review of The Lantern Men, Ruth Galloway, Book 12 by Ellie Griffiths. It's read by Jane McDowell, and it's available from Recorded Books for 12.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is One for the Books by Jen McKinley, read by Allison Ryan. Listeners will share Lindsay and Sully's consternation as, a mere 2 weeks before their wedding, they learn they have accidentally invited the whole of Briar Creek to the ceremony instead of the 30 guests they'd planned. Narrator Allison Ryan cultivates a strong sense of empathy among listeners as they quickly identify with Lindsay's anxiety over the details of her big day. Then, as Lindsay thinks she has faced all she can handle, she and Sully discover the murdered body of Steve Briggs, the Justice of the Peace, who was supposed to preside over their ceremony. As the couple frantically looks for someone to take Steve's place, Ryan makes characters of all backgrounds come alive with excellent voices and accents and a range of energy. Victoria Mejia Gyu wrote that review of One for the Books. It's written by Jen McKinley, read by Allison Ryan, and it's available from Dreamscape for 7.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Silent Bite by David Rosenfeld. It's an Earphones winner, read by Grover Gardner. Listener's favorite lazy, dog-loving lawyer returns. This time, Andy Carpenter gets dragooned into defending a convicted felon when the man is charged with murder. Narrator Grover Gardner performs in the first-person narration. Listeners will be convinced they're hearing the wisecracks Andy himself is making and find themselves chuckling throughout the story. When Andy has to face the possibility that he has come up against a high-level gang boss, Gardner captures the discomfort mixed with bravado that Andy shows the world. Listeners will find especially endearing Andy's love of dogs, which tends to drag him into taking seemingly impossible cases despite his hatred of the work. Victoria Mejia Gyu wrote that review of Silent Bite. And that concludes our reviews for today. But I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll have part two of our reviews in Mystery and Suspense, including a review of Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Crosby, read by Adam Lazar White. Then we have the Best of list for science fiction fantasy and reviews in science fiction and fantasy, including a review of The Space Between Worlds by Micaiah Johnson, read by Nicole Lewis. So until next time, thanks for listening.